Good morning, everybody. Morning, Jackie. Hurry back. We miss you. You'll probably be up here by the time we get this posted. But so it always amazes me that God can use just about anything to reach us and to teach us. God can use pretty much any situation to bring out a lesson. So the message this week is being heard. So I'm not a huge fan of Christmas music. Really. Some of the songs I don't mind. Some of the songs are okay. Some of the songs just really get on my nerves. Not a really big, huge fan of Christmas music. But we're one of the places where Debbie and I walk in the mornings is up by Hannaford's in St. Albans at the Highgate Commons Shopping Center. And a couple of weeks ago, as we were up there walking, all of a sudden the Christmas music came on. Only I had never heard Christmas music like this. This was heavy metal Christmas songs. You know, and back when I was working, there was a person who sat near me who was in multiple bands for the times that we worked together. And every once in a while, he did cover band kind of stuff. And every once in a while, his band would make an album. So he would put on his demo album and go on about his business and leave the room and everything. So this is continually playing these songs. And I said multiple times, I didn't like these songs when good bands did them. Okay, so now you get the perspective. Here we are. We have heavy metal Christmas music. I saw Obama kissing Santa Claus, you know. Crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So that went that way for about a week, week and a half. And then we were in one day and it was the country version of Christmas songs. I'm like, still the same song, a much different tone, a much more palatable, at least to my mind, way of communicating. And I started thinking about this message, being heard. How do we communicate the message? Because it was the same message in heavy metal and in country. It was the same song in some cases. But how we communicate, or how it was communicating, hit my ears differently. I wasn't really annoyed and wanting to walk outside, only it was really, really stinking cold and snowing, you know. So, how do we go about being heard? How do we go about communicating in such a way that our words are received? And it's important that we do learn to do this. It's important that we do share what it is that God has placed in our heart. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. This is just before Jesus ascended up into heaven. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the purpose is, we don't know how many days we have. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know how many days we have walking this earth ourselves, whether we're walking out the days that we are given, or we're walking along when the Lord comes back and we're caught up together with him to meet him in the air. However many days we have, we don't know that number. But what we do know is we are called to share and to be witnesses of Jesus every place that we go. He told the disciples in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Rich, who still does, puts the messages up for us and used to be our praise and worship leader, he said the uttermost parts of the earth is how the Bible referred to Alberg. So, of course, having been at Scotts Bush Free Methodist Church yesterday, believe me, this is not quite the uttermost parts of the earth. There are places farther out there than this. But we're each and every one of us called to share the love of God, to talk, share the gospel with the people we encounter. But just like that Christmas music in a heavy metal tone versus the Christian versus the Christmas music in the country tempo, sometimes our words aren't reaching the audience that we had intended. I was mentioning in the leading up to the prayer time, or somewhat before I turned on the recorder anyway, about this one church that we had attended where the attire of the praise and worship team was not exactly what we had anticipated based on having known people before them. Good way to put it without narrowing it down too much for the recording. I said, but there could be me reaching out to a group that I couldn't reach out to. I wouldn't be received in. I've mentioned before having met a person quite a few years ago in Pennsylvania at a minister's meeting, and the person had a nice beard from the middle of his ears down, halfway down his chest, and completely bald on top of his head. Shows up in a t-shirt, tattoos all up and down his arms. He's the pastor of the local Bikers Church. And the Bikers Church meets on Thursday night. And they praise the Lord and they worship together on Thursday nights. Because Sunday, most of the bikers are on their motorcycles on long rides. So he found a way to meet people, to interact with people that I don't have a connection with. So what are we doing to be heard? What are we doing to interact with the people around us? Having been a trainer for the government for a number of years, not in-depth trainer, but doing training for new hire orientation for a number of years, I found out that when you're talking to a group that you don't have any background on, you have to get pretty, pretty basic. One problem being pretty, pretty basic in talking with a group of people is you have some people in the group that pretty basic just bores the snot out of them, and they don't want to sit there long enough to hear what you've got to say because they already know it. Has anybody ever been that person? That would have been me. But as you find out your audience, if you get a better understanding of who your audience is, you can begin to tailor your presentation to the audience. You don't ever change the message, you change the way you communicate. Again, heavy metal Christmas music versus country Christmas music. Which group are you trying to reach? It's still the same message. It's still the same songs. As we talk to people, as we share with people the love of God, as we're going to have to try and find some level of commonality. And if we don't already know what that level of commonality is, we start very, very, very basic. But how do we get ourselves heard? How do we communicate the things that God has done in us? 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved. Excuse me, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. And after that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James and then by all the apostles. Last of all, He was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Paul, talking to the Corinthian church, says a couple of very important things here. He says the important part is you heard the gospel and you believed. He said, now, I told you what happened with Jesus, that there are witnesses to the things that happened, and that as I was called to preach, I'm not worthy to have been called an apostle. I was a persecutor of Christians, yet I am what I am because God has called me to be who I am. Each and every one of us, we have a calling of God on our lives to share the Word of God to the people around us, to share the gospel, to share the blessings of who God is, to share a knowledge and an understanding, and to reach the people that we can reach. And Paul says, that's what I'm doing. But it really doesn't matter if you heard it from me and received it, or heard it from somebody else and received it. What matters is that God is glorified, that you have believed in the gospel. That is what matters. Paul also says, I am not worthy to have been called an apostle because I was a persecutor of Christians. I was one who persecuted, who stood against the things that God was declaring. I'm here to tell you, it really doesn't matter. For your effectiveness today is not limited by who you were before. The things that God has called you to do is not hindered by the fact that, as Paul said, I was a persecutor of Christians. I've been a persecutor of Christians. I didn't turn any over to be killed, but I certainly mocked, I certainly ridiculed, I certainly got up in people's faces. But God has a plan and a purpose, and God will use the things that we have gone through to strengthen our faith, to make us more able to relate to the people around us, to give us those points of commonality where we can reach out. Somebody comes up to me and, you know, wants to ridicule the gospel. Dude, I've been there. I've done that. Okay, is that the best you've got? Come on, let's reason together. I'm not intimidated by that because I was that person. And I know what that's like. I know what the other side of the argument is. I know what the other side of the equation is. So because I know that, it makes me more able to reach those people. Or at least not give up and run away, but to be able to stand there and to reason, not to be overwhelmed by our circumstances. How are we, what are we doing to be heard? How are we reaching out to people? And again, our backgrounds, the things that we have gone through, God will use those. God has used those to mold who we are. And in making us who we are, He equips us to reach people like we used to be. That's a wonderful thing. As Paul is talking about here, he said, I shared the word, but other people shared the word too. And that's the important part, was that you heard the word. Don't discount anybody, but don't discount any opportunity to share the word of God with people, because you don't know if you're the first one who's going to plant the seed, if you're going to be somebody that's going to water it, or if you're just going to end up being a witness in their life that at least they've been told. The results are not up to us. What is up to us is to do what God has laid on our hearts to reach people. And as we do that, God brings the increase. 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 13, says, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. A couple of things in there to make you say, I don't know that I like this suffering part. We understand that everybody goes through things in life, right? We've had this conversation. Each and every one of us goes through different things. We don't get to say, oh, I'll take one from column A and avoid column B completely. We don't get that opportunity. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Things happen in each and every one of his lives. Peter said, don't be surprised when things happen, because they happen to our brethren that are in the world also. So we're all going to go through things. Some might be, we feel earned and deserved, and some might be, we feel are unearned and undeserved. That's where Andrew has a struggle. False accusations, oh, from the time I was a kid. Accusing me of doing something I didn't do has driven me crazy. So guess what? That's an area I get tested in quite a bit. You'd think one day I would learn and just say, yes, Lord, whatever. However you want to do it is wonderful. This is an area that I struggle with and continue to struggle with. But what Peter says is, always be ready. Because it might be that it takes the conflict and the turmoil to open the door to begin to share. It might be that it's your reaction to something that happened that makes somebody say, wonder what's different about them. What are we doing to be heard? How are we being heard? How are we tailoring our delivery, but not the message, so that we can reach the people God places in our path? The same message can be communicated different ways. But as long as it's the same message, as long as it's a message about the grace and mercy and love of God, as long as it's the truth of God's Word, if that's what's being communicated, God's gonna be able to use it. How is it being tailored so that we are being heard by the audience that God has placed in front of us? Audience, the group, the small little cluster or whatever the situation happens to be. Not like looking out over a great big audience. So that might be the situation sometimes too. We don't know how big a group it is going to be. It could be a group of one. Philip was in the middle of sharing the gospel, and the power of God was moving. And God told him, now, go down by the desert on the way to Gaza. Like, but God, you're doing great things here. Why do you want me to leave? No, he didn't say that. He went. And as he went, he found the Ethiopian eunuch. And as he shared the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, the man said, what's to stop me from being baptized? You know, I am here. I am ready. And we know that when missionaries went to Ethiopia, they found out that the gospel was already there. So many, many years later. When you realize that God is into our relationships. Morning. God wants relationships with us. So we may look and see that it's a, okay. We may look and see that it's a great big crowd of people and say, hey, this is where God's moving. But God may want us to go to talk to one person. Do we discount the one person? Oh, no, we'd much rather have it there. No. We are gracious and ready to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. And because of that, because we are anxious to hear the Lord move, or anxious to see the Lord move. How are we doing, boss?
Good morning. Hi, sorry to interrupt. I just have some flowers I would like to leave here with the church, if that's possible.
That's perfectly fine.
Appreciate it. Sorry. My name is Art. I live down the end of Point of Tongue, and we're returning from a service for my son-in-law.
Okay.
And I figured you guys would appreciate it, and I kept them warm all night, so they're
okay. Okay, yeah. Great.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Yeah, but I have a few more, if that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Any of you're all welcome to enjoy them, take them home, or give them to somebody. I was wondering if there was anybody else locally I could give them to who would appreciate it.
And,
I've been passing them out as much as
okay.
I can.
Okay, praise God. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Wow. You want to go help him? Yeah, just came back from a service for his son-in-law. He said, yep. Ask him to come in again.
You hear that, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Hello. Okay.
We're good, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm glad that you bought. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of cheer and
right.
Yeah.
Can you come up for a minute? We'd like to pray for you. No, we'd like to pray for you and your family.
Thank you.
I'm a firm believer that God doesn't waste anything, and you didn't accidentally pull into the driveway. Now,
no,
I don't understand what God is doing.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I do know that He is faithful.
Yeah.
And I'd like to pray for you and your family. Your son-in-law?
Yes, my son-in-law. He was 38, unexpected heart attack. And, it's horrible. He leaves behind a wife, a four-year-old, and she's pregnant with 6 months at this point. So it's been tough. And we've been living up on the island, and we're building a house down on Point of Tongue, and we've been in the area for about 2 years now, and I purposely put the flowers in. I know Mash here's Donald and Norma, and I know Bruce, and Bruce said, well, his mom and dad were married in Little Brown Church, and so I said, hopefully, I'm not going to. And then this morning, of course, you got in late last night, and I'm rushing around. I was like, oh, darn it, I missed Mass. And here I am interrupting everything.
No.
But
Can you come up and stand in the middle, and we'll pray for you?
Yeah, my boots here, sorry.
But
I grew up in the Everglades.
My goodness.
You're perfectly fine. So, Father, we just come before you.
Thank
we lift
you.
Up my brother.
Thank you.
And we lift up his family, Father. Lord, we understand the loss of a loved one. He's lost his son-in-law and got the daughter and grandchild and a grandchild on the way. But, Lord, the rest of the extended family, we thank you, Lord, for their hearts. We thank you, Father, that you are our comfort. Father, that you comfort each and every one of us and call us to comfort those around us with the comfort we are given. So, Lord, we lift him up. Lift up Art and we lift up the family and ask, Father, for an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, for healing and strength and wisdom and provision and guidance. Lord, in a time with loss, as we were even praying about that in morning prayer, so many having lost the loved one and facing this time of year, not knowing where to turn and facing the emptiness. But Lord, you are our comfort. So Father, we ask, Father, for that outpouring of your Spirit, an outpouring of your comfort. And Lord, that you would put people in their paths to encourage them and to strengthen them. Lord, and help them to meet the needs, whatever they are, Father. You know each and every one. You know each and every situation.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to minister, this opportunity, Father, to share, and this opportunity, Lord, to reach out to be a blessing. So we give you glory and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No, thank you. Please. And if you wish, take them home. And, I don't know how many times a week there's somebody here, but I go by. I pay attention. Mm-hmm. And if you're around again, I'll definitely pop on in and greet everybody. And
And like I said, I'm local. I'm right down the road now.
We'll
I'm proud
to dinner on Wednesday night at 5:30.
Wednesday night, 5:30, huh?
Yeah. Right. We have a Bible study Wednesday night at 6:30. We meet at 5:30 for dinner.
Okay. Well, the food, that'll get me in the door. I'm easily swayed by food. So, yeah. Art Harm.
And what's your last name?
Harm, H-A-R-M. Yeah. So we moved from upstate New York, and all of our friends are moving south, going to the Carolinas mm-hmm. and Florida. And my wife and I are avid outdoors people. We're skiers, cyclists, and we vacationed in the islands for years. And, I said, well, I don't want to go south, and she doesn't either. So and as long as we can still enjoy the winter and the cold, and your folks are probably wondering, okay, I don't know about that, but,
Well, we lose about half the congregation in winter.
That's all.
Well, we're a small congregation, is still a whole bunch.
But it's good, I'm happy to see you here, and, you got the lights on and the heat kicking, which is important, but it's a tough to survive in some areas, I see it. And, and like I said, I'm meeting more and more locals and such, I worked for United Parcel for 31 years, and I grew up in a resort in the same town, so everyone was always kidding, I've been there 50 plus years, I'm never going to leave, and now here, when they, my friends here and family, what do you mean you're moving to Vermont? No one does that. Even the locals are, the same mm-hmm. thing, but.
Well, you're a local now.
I guess so, yeah. Well, I've always been plum local, but now I'm I said, well, I hope somebody at least could enjoy them. And like I said, if there's anybody, I was even thinking, because I knew all the elderly people in my neighborhood, and I don't know a lot that would appreciate it. I stopped on the way up, and we gave away a couple of them at mm-hmm. some strange places, a Dunkin' Donuts. I gave a gal something. Right. She didn't know what to say with that. But anyway, I just hope that somebody could appreciate them and, lively up the joint a little bit. So, but thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you continue with your service. Thank you. Thanks, folks. Yes, I'll be seeing you around.
Thank you.
Okay, and 5:30 Wednesday. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful flowers. They smell really nice too. Oh, so for those of you still listening on the tape wondering what the heck just happened, because I forgot to shut this off. I'm sure you got part of it. We just had a gentleman stop in and bring flowers to the church, having just left his son-in-law's, or having brought them from his son-in-law's funeral service yesterday. He took them home and then kept them warm and brought them in here this morning. A gentleman who's just moved into the area, building a house right down the road. So, I don't know if Rich is going to be able to edit out any of this, so maybe you got a little bit more than you anticipated for the message this morning. We're talking about being ready to share the gospel, being ready to share the love of God, and looking for ways to reach out and to do that. And believe me, this was not scripted. I didn't call Art and say, hey, drop this stuff off in the middle of service. I don't know that we've ever had we've had people come in the middle of service and join us, but we have never had anybody just come in and do that. Very, very interesting. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 19, says, "For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To are those who were without the law, as without the law. Not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." Paul was a very educated man. Paul was able to travel in different circles. And each and every one of us, there's different circles that we can travel in. You know what? You understand what I mean with that? By that? We can fit in with one group of people and fit in with another group of people. Not everyone can. We can't fit into all groups. The group that's listening to the heavy metal, headbanging Christmas music is not the group I hang out with. My ears are too sensitive for that kind of stuff. But we find ourselves in different groups. We find ourselves in different situations. And as we do that, if our heart is prepared to share God's grace with whoever we encounter, if our heart is set to revere God no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is, there will be opportunities to share the grace and love of God. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoice when one person believes. Remember, again, Philip was preaching to was preaching in a city, and there was the power of God, and a lot of people were receiving the grace, they were receiving Jesus. A lot of people were coming to believe, and lives were being touched and being changed. And God sent Philip down to the desert on the way to Gaza to meet with one person. God is interested in individuals. God is big enough that he can look at a Reinhard Bonnke crusade in Africa or in India and see 50,000 people giving their hearts to Jesus. And it's 50,000 one-on-one encounters. It's not that great big group versus one person. It's one person 50,000 times over. God is that big. But each and every one is important. When we get our eyes off of trying to decide what we can do on a human scale and recognize what God wants to do on a God-sized scale, that one person, each and every person, is important to God. So when we're sharing grace and when we're sharing who God is with the people around us, it may only be one person we're talking with. It may be five, it may be a dozen, but more than likely it's going to be one or two. It's a whole lot easier to tailor your delivery to one or two people than it is to a room full of people. Remember, we talked about that earlier as I was talking about being a trainer, how you have to take the message and bring it down to the lowest level, the most basic level to begin the conversation. But if we can travel in different circles and meet with different people and find ourselves in different situations, each one of those situations that God allows us to be in is an opportunity to share God's love with somebody. Doesn't mean they're going to receive it. It doesn't mean they're going to want to talk to you. It doesn't mean they're not going to tell you to shut up and get up and walk away. But how do we communicate? What are we doing to be heard? How are we building relationships with people so that we have a right and an ability to speak into their lives? You've heard the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. How are we reaching out to people? How are we being a blessing to people? How are we showing love to people? Because that's what brings down barriers. And that's what makes them willing to listen even when they don't want to. Because if you build a relationship based on love, they're more than likely not to get up and leave because it would be rude, not because, you know. They might not want to hear the message, but they're willing to sit there because we have a decent relationship. You've always been nice to them. They don't want to be rude. And as long as they're listening, that word's getting inside. As long as they're there, that word is getting inside. What are we doing to be heard? Final passage. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 12. Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul said, there are people that are out there preaching just to see if they can't get me in more trouble. But you know what? The word of God is going forth. That the attitude of their heart doesn't affect the message. As long as the message is truth, as long as we are not compromising the gospel, even people doing it out of trying to get me in trouble is still furthering the gospel. God can use whatever the circumstances happen to be. God is not limited. He's not limited by my frailties or yours. He's not limited by my selfish ambitions or yours. He's not limited by my weakness or yours. But God is able to use each and every situation to fulfill His word, to touch and change hearts, to work in people's lives. The question is, are we willing to do what it takes to share the love of God? Paul says, to this group I became like them. To this group I became like them. But I never modified the gospel. I modified my presentation. How do we reach the people around us? By living it out in front of them. By loving them. By building relationships. Each and every one of us, that's what we're called to do. Is to build relationships with other people so that God can be glorified through us. So that the word of God can go forth, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can touch and change people's lives. What are we doing to be heard? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your blessings and guidance. We thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that regardless of people's motivations, regardless of people's techniques, as long as the gospel is going forth, as long as people are sharing your love, as long as people are telling the truth, Father, that you're at work in that. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities. We thank you for the divine appointments. We thank you, Father, even for the persecutions and the hardships that we face. Because through all of it, Lord, you are faithful. Through all of it, you get glorified. And through all of it, Father, you don't waste any of it, but you use it to teach us and to train us, but also, Father, to work through us to display your grace to the people around us. So, Father, we thank you. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.